Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Fulton Systems is North America's leader in terms of thermocompressor and steam systems installations. Our references in the paper industry includes over 80 years of support, thousands of operating thermocompressors, and hundreds of paper machine rebuilds. Additionally, we provide dryer section performance audits, steam and condensate system design, and consulting services. Give us a call at 770-447-1400 or visit our website at www.fultonsystems.com.
This is Nip Impressions for the week of the 4th of July, 2016. The title, Saving Us From Ourselves. This is Environment/Regulations Month here at Paparitalo Publications. Issues surrounding the environment and regulations necessarily, unless you subscribe to conspiracy theories, also involve the mitigation of risk. I'll tell a story on myself to set the stage. My first car was a 1968 Chevrolet Chevelle with a straight six engine and a three-speed manual transmission. Three on the tree is what we used to call them. I bought it from my parents. For those of you who go back this far in U.S. history, this was the first year any pollution controls were put on cars. They were crude and consisted of an air pump that shoved exhaust back up into the engine in some fashion to complete the combustion process. Don't ask me how it worked. I never was interested in it. What I was interested in was the device set near the front of the engine had its own belt that ran from the crankshaft to power it, just like the common fan belt of the day. What I was interested in was that I drove 50 miles round trip to work each day, and this thing, I thought, was knocking about 3 or 4 miles per gallon off my gas mileage. Gas was only 27 cents a gallon, but I only made $100 a week on my co-op job.
And now let's pause a moment for this message.
Honey, I have something to tell you.
What is it, dear?
The company has given me a great opportunity, and I'm being transferred to another mill out of state. And we'll have to move soon. I'm very excited about this.
I'm proud of you for your opportunity, but we have to move? That's going to be such a hassle. What about the kids? We'll have to find a new home, and how do you find a good realtor? Not to mention enrolling the kids in a new school, finding a new church.
Ah, that reminds me. I heard someone at the mill today mention a website that has resources for people in the pulp and paper industry that are relocating.
Moving doesn't have to be a hassle. SellYouHouses.com has the resources and information to assist you with the moving process. We have a list of realtors and mill towns across the United States. Just go to the town that you are looking to move to. We also have links for schools, churches, chambers of commerce, Department of Motor Vehicles, visitors bureaus, and local government. Just go to SellYouHouses.com.
Wow! Honey, this website has all the resources we need to help us move. Thank you, SellYouHouses!
If you're moving, just go to SellYouHouses.com. That's CellYouHouses.com. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the conclusion of this week's column.
One Saturday I had the hood up looking at the engine and this thing. I noticed that the belt that powered it only. After thinking a couple of minutes, I pulled out my pocket knife and cut the belt off. I then started the car and it ran fine. In fact, I got back the mileage I thought I should have. This story neatly tells my attitude as a 22-year-old to the environment concerns and risk-taking. The risk being, cutting the belt off, what if the car wouldn't run? I have moderated my views on the environment, regulations, and risk-taking a bit in the ensuing 44 years. All I have to do is go to Guatemala City, a place I frequent occasionally, to at least appreciate modern automobile pollution control. As for risk, I am still out there a bit. After all, I am going to be spending a good portion of the weekend of the 16th and 17th of July riding shotgun in a 2016 Corvette specifically set up for racing on a new track in Michigan and driven by a 73-year-old professional race car driver. So with this opening, that sets a stage for discussing environment, regulations, and risk for the next few weeks. My long-term broad definition of regulations, and I mean regulations concerning any matter, are this. Regulations are imposed by those who have artificially gained power, that would be elected officials, appointed moderators, and others, on those who own assets. Yes, in the modern world, owning assets no longer means you have complete control of them. This is the price, privilege, duty of modern civilization. You may quickly jump to the vision of a pulp and paper mill when I use the word asset in this context. It is broader than that. Think of the surgeon bound by many regulations. The surgeon's training is an asset in this context. Power has been bestowed on regulators in many ways. Accidents that harm or killed life have been the genesis of many regulations. Perceptions of harm have been the genesis of other regulations. An attempt by society to right long-term wrongs have played a significant part in creating regulations. We can't go further without bringing up the word policy as well. Companies create policies in reaction to regulations in order to have a unified approach to dealing with regulations. On top of this, in the modern world, we have to bring up public relations. Many, many regulations have their genesis in public relations and public stunts. I am watching with great interest the lawsuit brought by Resolute Forest Products against Greenpeace, which we have been covering extensively already here in our publications. Greenpeace is a master at public relations. They started labeling Resolute a bad player, bullying, they called it, the minute after the suit papers were served. But while you watch this tussle play out, indeed, any time you see regulations come into play, just remember my definition I stated above and state again here for emphasis. Regulations are imposed by those who have artificially gained power on those who own assets. So what do you think? Take our quiz online this week and let us know. For safety this week, I think we can all agree we have many safety policies and regulations that are for a good purpose. Be safe, and we will talk next week.
Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2016, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
CBG.
Morning, Tom. Give me some good news today.
Man, I really wish I could. We've got broken bolts and dryer cans, there are stuck studs in the pump housing, and to top it off, now they've broken a drill bit trying to get an alignment pin out. I think it's safe to say that the more we work, the farther we get behind.
So, Tom, are you doing this the old-fashioned way just for fun?
What do you mean?
Broken bolts, studs, drill bits, alignment pins, keys. CBG metal disintegration and stud removal can fix all those problems. CBG takes broken and stuck metal out of everything. Heck, they work on submarines, aircraft carriers, power plants, oil refineries, even a one-of-a-kind Ferrari engine, and have removed hundreds of dryer can bolts all over the U.S. I saw on CBGmaintenance.com they took out a 9/64-inch drill bit and removed 2.5-inch studs at a power plant.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. Can you give me that website address again?
It's CBGmaintenance.com. Bookmark the site and give them a call today. CBGmaintenance.com.
This is Nip Impressions for the week of the 11th of July, 2016. The title, The Source of Regulations. Last week, I gave you my definition of regulations. Quotes, regulations are imposed by those who have artificially gained power on those who own assets. End quotes. I would like to spend this column discussing those who have artificially gained power. There are three groups that come to mind when I think of those who have artificially gained power. They are environmental NGOs, lawyers, and governments. Let's take these on one at a time. Nearly 25 years ago, when I started my consulting practice, I thought an important service I could offer the industry was to work with it on their public relations with local communities. What I quickly found out was that the industry was not interested in working with the local communities. They would rather fight in court in those days. What small efforts the pulp and paper mills were expending were laughable. For instance, I remember putting on a seminar where I actually got some mill people to show up to talk about the subject. Most of the time, I talked to empty rooms in those days. In this seminar was a young pulp and paper engineer who handled environmental issues in his mill. Management had put a direct telephone line on his desk and published the number in the local community. The idea was if anyone in the community smelled, heard, or saw anything, they could call that number and he would give them an explanation. So I asked him what he would do if I lived in the community, smelled a chlorine smell, then called the number. In a very loud, lucid, and clear manner, he gave me an absolutely perfect scientific and textbook answer as to what he would say. I gave him a failing grade on the spot.
And now let's pause a moment for this message.
Oh, sorry about that. You know, my wife told me that if she ever heard a toilet flushing in the background again, she would hang up on me. That's a bad habit I had formed. Checking into a hotel room, calling my wife, and doing other essential tasks. You know, multitasking. Hi, this is Jim Thompson here. One of our advertisers has told us they used to advertise in a certain print magazine because they always found copies of that magazine in paper mill bathrooms. We pointed out to them that if you're advertising with Papri Tala Publications, you can be found anywhere. For instance, right on the paper machine floor. Or at the ball game. Or in the backyard on a Saturday afternoon. Or at a wild papermaker's party. Or on your nightstand right before you go to bed. Where can prospects find your advertising? If they have a phone, tablet, or computer, they can find it anywhere as long as you are advertising with Papri Tala Publications. Go with the winner.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the conclusion of this week's column.
He was shocked. I explained to him that the average person in the community never heard anything he said after he said, quotes, "The odor is likely a whiff of chlorine," end quotes. All that happened after that is they freaked out and thought they were going to die or their future grandchildren would have three noses, and if that wasn't bad enough, not all of them would be on their head. No one had trained this young engineer as to what to say in various scenarios. This was typical of the industry's reaction to community relations in those days. The typical reaction of the person who made the phone call was likely as follows. If they read an article in a newspaper or saw news stories on television showing environmental NGOs such as Greenpeace, the World Wildlife Fund, or others protesting at some manufacturing facility anywhere in the world, they would nod their head knowingly. If a lawyer sent them a letter asking them to join a class action suit against the local mill for some allegedly bad thing the mill had done, they sent their affirmative response back the next day. So this is the way the environmental NGOs have gained traction. The ignorance of the local population to scientific matters has made it easy to raise concerns and money to fight big business. Another long-term trend has helped too. An agrarian population is far smarter when it comes to dealing with chemicals and other potential hazards than is an urban population. If you think about it, all manufacturing had its origins as extensions of agrarian activities. For instance, soap was made in a kettle over an open fire long before it became a manufacturing business. As businesses were formed from nascent processes on the farm, they moved to urban areas and brought the people with them. Succeeding generations of city dwellers were further and further isolated from the farming roots and, shall we say, farming chemistry. Generations lost their familiarity with common processes, in fact became fearful of them as they continued to dwell and raise succeeding generations in the protected cocoons of the city. This is how environmental NGOs gain power, exploiting this ignorance. Lawyers in recent decades have perfected the art of the class action suit. This is another way to monetize the ignorance of the layperson far removed from the processes of our industry and others. FUD, that is fear, uncertainty, and doubt, one of the most effective sales tools ever invented, plays well into the class action lawyer's skill set. And the fact that you don't have to put up any money, just get on a list containing enough potential litigants to convince a judge there is a case, and the lawyer is in business. Finally, the actions of the environmental NGOs and lawyers give politicians a reason to be elected. Yes, politicians use FUD as well. Once elected, they can influence matters on a federal, state, and local government level to the point that regulations come out the other end. Regulations are a two-edged sword for the politicians. Having a track record of producing regulations that, quote, bring those mean old industries in line, quote, is good for re-election campaigns. Along with regulations come fines for noncompliance, yet another source of revenue for governments. The ultimate culmination of all three of these entities' efforts, at least to this point in time, is the concept of global warming. I can assure you at least half the readership of this column will be defensive of the global warming movement and its objectives. I will submit the science has been so obfuscated and otherwise distorted that in a world of purely scientific reasoning, it would be extremely difficult to discern a sane scientific principle prediction as to the existence or of the effects of what is labeled as global warming. What is for sure is there are winners and losers as the initiatives play out. Whether the winners deserve to win and the losers deserve to lose is anyone's guess. Yet this process has produced mounds of regulations and other actions deserved and undeserved as they are served on the owners of assets. Can you think of any source of regulations I have missed? Take our quiz online this week. As I said last week, some regulations, particularly as they relate to safety, are very good. They can save you and your coworkers' lives. Follow them. Be safe, and we will talk next week.
Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2016, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Are you ready to advance your career in the pulp and paper industry? Freeman Staffing specializes in pulp and paper positions and the placement of engineers of all disciplines, from production supervisors and managers, mill managers, maintenance engineers and managers, project engineers and managers, process engineers and managers, to corporate executives, North America wide. Freeman Staffing can help you find the best job opportunity in the industry. Contact Freeman Staffing at 800-221-9629. That's 800-221-9629. Or visit them at www.freemanstaffing.com to look at current opportunities. That's FreemanStaffing.com.
This is Nip Impressions for the week of the 18th of July, 2016. Just one more. When I obtain a new phone or computer, one of the wonderful attributes I thoroughly enjoy is how clean it is. By clean, I mean that it is not cluttered with files, apps, and so forth. However, soon, due to my curiosity and impulsiveness, it is a cluttered mess. I would say the same thing happens with offices. I've been in my current office for 11 years and it has become a collection of items of all sorts I simply cannot live without. My best friend, a great disciplinarian and an obsessively clean person, kicks in once in a while and I scour my office to close to his standards. However, that is not often and seems to be becoming less frequent with age. In a mill environment, I would perform as a much better example than I do in this independent environment where I work. Speaking of environment regulations as we are this month, the same phenomenon has occurred here. If one goes to Wikipedia and looks at, quote, environmental policy of the United States, end quotes, one finds a little table labeled, quote, major environmental legislation, end quotes. This table chronicles the major environmental laws promulgated in the United States, starting with the first one in 1899. There are 33 line item entries on this list, which also includes major revisions to earlier laws. 14, or almost half of the list, were enacted in the 1970s. 24, almost three-fourths of the list, were enacted since 1969.
And now let's pause a moment for this message.
If your equipment installation, construction, or maintenance project is complex, your choice is simple. C.R. Meyer, a nationwide full-service general contractor, specializes in the most complex projects in the pulp and paper industry. Our millwrights, pipe fitters, iron workers, boiler makers, carpenters, laborers, cement finishers, operators, and a team of knowledgeable technical and professional staff are effective and efficient in any shutdown, planned or unplanned. Take the simple step to getting your next project done safely, on time, and on budget. Contact C.R. Meyer at crmeyer.com. That's C-R-M-E-Y-E-R.com.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the conclusion of this week's column.
Of course, these are just the major authorizing pieces of legislation. The same section in Wikipedia lists 18 departments and agencies of the federal government that either write or enforce regulations coming out of the 33 major laws cited above. We've become like an old computer or an old mobile phone. These 18 departments employ thousands of people, most of whom seem to think their only job is to find ways to write new regulations from permissions to do so they read into wording of the 33 major laws. They do this without ceasing. Consequently, today, the number of regulations with which a business or even a homeowner must comply has reached an incalculable quantity. It is as if one were reading the book of Leviticus and attempting to understand how one properly prepares for the Jewish Sabbath, times 10 million. The regulators, bureaucrats, and their contractors see it to be their sacred duty to write just one more regulation. This leaves us with an impossible task, how to comply with all the regulations and how the new ones that are constantly being foisted upon us are to be complied with as well. In November of 1977, I took a short course at Southeast Missouri State University on running your own business. One of the classes was taught by a lawyer. I've always remembered how he started his lecture. He asked us to pick one object on our person or in the room that was not covered by a legal precedent judgment. We picked combs, handkerchiefs, chairs, walls, lights, you name it. In every case, he could cite law precedent tied to that subject. As he explained, the world we live in today is blanketed in a finely woven web of legal precedent touching everything we encounter. Environmental and safety regulations are the same thing, except we have bureaucrats who wake up daily and decide we need just one more regulation. Now our world is as crowded and cluttered as a 17-year-old's with a 2-year-old iPhone. We need a purge and a fresh new device on which to start over. The sad news is we will not get a new device, and we will not see a slowdown in regulation writing. Unless there is something of a major upheaval, the regulation pile will continue to grow. The other day I read somewhere that the European Union's regulations on cabbage are slightly longer than 26,000 words. I then read where this had been debunked. It is only 263 words, but there is a much broader set of regulations about growing farm produce, which reaches 32,000 words. All I can tell you, when we get to the point we are discussing how many words there are in regulations, there are too many regulations. What do you think? Please take our quiz online this week and give us your opinion. You can take it online. As I have stated continuously in this series, there are some regulations we need to conduct our business in a manner that is safe for our employees. The best of these are short, sweet, and to the point. Be safe, and we will talk next week.
NIP Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2016, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.
Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Many companies have inventory that they cannot use or cannot count on selling anytime soon. If your company is one of these, that excess or useless inventory is costing you money by tying up storage space, and worse, it is tying up your money, money that is decreasing in purchasing value. Old inventory is holding your company back from greater opportunities and new ventures. So how can you recover more money out of your excess inventory? A great answer is Stockpiles, a marketplace that connects buyers and sellers. Stockpiles lets you list your for-sale products and materials on its website free of charge, and you control your selling price. Let Stockpiles help you free up your money. Give them a call at 859-445-4920 or visit their website at www.siderolls.com.
This is NIP Impressions for the week of the 25th of July, 2016. The title, Impact. Having spent a great deal of time wandering far distances, I have often marveled at people with a more provincial view. Their world revolves around a much smaller sphere, yet they often have an outsized view of the influence and knowledge of that sphere at distances beyond their dominion. This happens often when one engages locals in, say, a discussion about where to find a good local restaurant. They will tell you, quote, "Everyone knows where Bob's or Pete's or Evelyn's restaurant is," end quote. Well, obviously, I don't, because I'm asking. This phenomenon is not just one in rural areas either. A number of years ago, I went to a Mets game in the old Shea Stadium in New York. I was by myself and sat next to an accountant who had lived on Staten Island. He was in his 40s. He was amazed I was from Atlanta. In his entire life, he had never crossed the Hudson River. He had seen New Jersey from Manhattan, but had never been there. Sometimes I wonder if our perception of humankind's impact on the environment is not as outsized as well. Can humans really do all the damage attributed to them? No doubt you have seen those pictures of vast floating masses of plastic in the Pacific Ocean. Perhaps you have even read that it is impossible to buy sea salt that does not have microscopic bits of plastic in it. However, how big do those masses have to be in order to be impactful? I don't know, but I can do some math. The Earth's radius is 3,959 miles. This makes its surface area 196,861,433 square miles. If one of those plastic masses covers just 0.1% of the Earth's surface, it has to be, if square, nearly 450 miles on each side. Now granted, if you were there in a ship or on a plane, a blob of plastic 450 miles on the side would look gigantic. It would be slightly larger than the state of California. But if it's that big, and I doubt they're that big, they're only covering 0.1% of the entire Earth's surface. Is that so much? On the other hand, sounding like a consultant now, don't forget what I stated about sea salt. So I truly don't know how this event impacts the environment, if at all.
And now let's pause a moment for this message.
Did you say Hairmaster?
No, you dimwit. Airmaster.
Caremaster?
No, Airmaster.
Daremaster?
Clean your ears out. I said Airmaster.
Stairmaster?
Oops, don't try that one. It's probably trademarked by someone else. Airmaster.
Ha ha, got you on that one. I said Stairmaster. S-T-A-R-E, Master. Tearmaster?
I'm going to tear you. Airmaster!
Oh, I get it. Airmaster.
Yes, Airmaster.
But what do they do?
Airmaster Aerator, the patented aerator that makes a difference. More than an aerator, a complete waste treatment system. Airmaster Aerator. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the conclusion of this week's column.
Let's look at this a different way. One of the pieces of trivia I like to throw out at dinner conversations is this. It is mathematically possible to fit all humans in the world into the city of Jacksonville, Florida. Each person will have a space 22 inches by 22 inches square, and I recommend you jockey for a space near the edge. However, it can be done, and it upends the concept that the world is overflowing with people. In 1980, Mount St. Helens in the state of Washington erupted. The eruption took 1,300 feet off the top of the volcano and left an area of devastation 230 square miles in area. Granted, that's only 0.0001% of the Earth's surface, but massive in appearance if you were close at hand. Clearly not the work of humans. Nevertheless, this devastation has largely been healed by nature in the last 36 years since the volcano erupted. So what is the impact of your mill on the world as a whole? The truth is we don't know. No one knows because there are simply bits of science yet to be discovered. It is likely, however, that the impact is not as great as environmental NGOs say, and it is not as little as your CEO may concede. As in all matters, it pays to add a little reason to the discussion. On top of that, it pays to add unbiased scientific analysis, a rare quantity these days. What do you think about impact? Take our quiz online this week and let us know. For safety this week, we can agree on this. All personal safety is local. Maintain a safe working environment. Be safe, and we will talk next week.
Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, usually voiced by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2016, Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. All rights reserved.